Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing a series that I've entitled Knowing God. That's really what life is all about. That is the most important thing that we can ever do. It's what gives dynamic to every other part of our life. And conversely, if we don't really know God, you could have everything that this world has to offer, all of the acclaim, all of the attention, and you'd be empty on the inside. I tell you, knowing God is everything. And I've already established how important it is. I've talked about that this being the goal of salvation. The last 4 days, I've been focused on 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and chapter 5, talking about how Paul said that he saw things with his heart that you couldn't see with your eyes. That's a paraphrase of 2 Corinthians 4:18, where he says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen." He says he was looking at things that can't be seen. How can you see something that can't be seen? You can see with your heart. There is a spiritual world. There are spiritual realities. And we have to know God heart to heart. You know, it basically says this in different terminology, but over in Romans chapter 1 and in verse 16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein," talking about in the gospel, "is the power of God revealed from faith to faith." And if you put that verse together with Romans chapter 10, it says, "For with the heart man believes unto righteousness." Faith comes from the heart. So when it says there in Romans 1:17, from faith to faith, it's talking about from heart to heart. We have to know God in our heart. Another verse that I've used is John 4:24, where it says, "God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." You have to know God on a spiritual level. You can't just know him in physical terms. That's not to say that God hasn't given us proof. The worlds and circumstances, God orchestrates circumstances, and there's just a wealth of proof. But when it comes right down to it, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. And so we have to know God by faith. And Paul said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16, "Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more." You know, I believe that Paul probably saw Jesus when Jesus was ministering in Jerusalem. If nothing else, he must have seen Jesus during the crucifixion of Jesus. I mean, this was the central event, not only of those who believed in Jesus, but those who were opposed to Jesus. They were so intent on crucifying him that Paul, at that time, he was named Saul, and he would have been on the other side of the fence as one of the persecutors, but certainly he would have seen Jesus. He possibly could have sat in on the trial. He possibly could have seen him crucified, hung on the tree. So when he says, "We've known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more," this is an amazing statement. In other words, he at one time had some physical sight, possibly heard Jesus talk, and things like this, physical connection with Jesus. But now it's not physical, it's spiritual. He was knowing God by faith. And let me just say something. This may startle some of you, but it's absolutely true. That the Apostle Paul is the one who had the greatest revelation of who Jesus was. And he didn't know Jesus. Now again, he might have seen him. He might have been able to tell you how tall he was or something like that. But he wasn't one of the followers of Jesus. The Apostle Paul's revelation of Jesus was deeper and broader, more detailed than Peter, who walked and talked and lived with Jesus for 3.5 years during his earthly ministry. Matter of fact, the Apostle Peter even referred to that. I'm not sure. I think it's over in 2 Peter chapter 3. He says, "Our beloved brother Paul also writes of these things, in which there are some things," he says, "that are hard to be understood, which those who are unlearned and unstable wrestle as they do the other scriptures." Peter was sitting here saying, "Our beloved brother Paul says some hard things. It's hard to understand." There is actually a time recorded over in Galatians, I believe it's chapter 2, or it's either chapter 1 or chapter 2, where when Peter came to the church at Antioch, Paul rebuked Peter openly in front of all of the people because he was to blame. He was a hypocrite. And Paul was not inferior to any of these apostles who actually walked and talked and ate and lived with Jesus for 3.5 years. You would think if it was just in the natural realm, if it was only with your 5 senses that you really came to know God, well, then the people who lived with him for 3.5 years should have known Jesus better than the Apostle Paul, who just maybe saw him in passing and then had this encounter with him on the road to Damascus, but he didn't have the benefit that the other apostles had. And yet the Apostle Paul had a greater revelation, so much so that he wrote half of the New Testament. He had a revelation of God that just amazed even the disciples that lived with Jesus for 3.5 years. How did he do this? I'm going to say some things here that it may be hard for you to grab hold of, but it's worth the effort. I encourage you to really pray and let God speak to you because this could change your life. But you can actually know God better through the Spirit by faith than you can know him physically. And just as I've already said on this program, I believe that the number one hindrance to us truly knowing God is our 5 senses, being dominated and controlled by these 5 senses. I believe the number one hindrance for the apostles truly knowing Jesus was the fact that they knew him with their 5 senses and didn't know him by the Spirit. Now, that may be a startling statement to some people, but I believe that this is exactly what this is referring to. At one time, they knew him by the senses. They knew him after the flesh, but now they don't know him that way anymore. Let me just give you a comparison here. The Apostle John, he's the one, of course, that wrote the book of John, and he referred to it in there many times. He referred to himself as the beloved apostle, the one whom Jesus loved. And it says over in John chapter 13, and I believe it's verse 23, it was talking about during the Last Supper. It says, "And there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved." This is talking, John is the one that wrote it, and he was talking about himself. And this is verified in many other places. So anyway, here's the Apostle John. They didn't sit at tables the way that we do with chairs. They had low tables that they would place the food on, and then they had pillows and things that they reclined on. And as they were all leaning on an elbow or something, John just leaned over and put his head on Jesus' chest. And that is the familiarity that the Apostle John had with Jesus. And it wasn't wrong because Jesus loved his disciples. And there was this relationship of love. And so there was nothing wrong with that. But in contrast to this, look at when John experienced Jesus on the island of Patmos. He was exiled there. And John, by this time, was an old man. And it said that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Notice, he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, not just in his 5 senses. What that's talking about is that he was more being dominated by spiritual, by his spirit man. He was more in tune with God than he was in tune with his surroundings. And it says in verse 12 that he turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw 7 golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the 7 candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with the garment down to his foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead." Now contrast these two instances. Here's John in John chapter 13 just putting his head on Jesus' chest as they were eating the Last Supper. And there is this familiarity. And then here is the exact same Jesus. The Bible says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews chapter 13. Jesus didn't change. He was exactly the same. And yet when John saw him in his glory outside of that physical body and instead saw him in his glorified power, he fell at his feet as dead. Did you know that Jesus was exactly the same in both instances? What was different was John's perception of Jesus. When Jesus was in his physical body, that physical body was like a veil that really robed and shadowed and cut off the true glory of God that was on the inside. Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. God was manifest in the flesh. God with us is what the angels sang. Emmanuel was his name, and that means God with us. Jesus was God, and yet when he was born as a little baby, did you know that that little body concealed who Jesus really was? People looked at that body, and that body was just as natural and human. It didn't have any sin or any defilement in it, but it was totally human. And it was like a veil that kept people from seeing who God really was. When John put his head on Jesus' chest at that Last Supper, he, because of that physical body, and that physical body was so loving and so kind, the way that he had acted, the way that he had talked to them, the mercy that he had shown on other people, because of this, he was able to just put his head over on Jesus' chest and have that kind of an intimacy with him. And yet that's the same Jesus that here in Revelation chapter 1 had his eyes like a faint flame of fire. And when you looked at him, his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. That was the same God, but that physical body blocked us from seeing that. And they were so dominated by what they saw that there was a familiarity with Jesus that in some ways kept them from perceiving who he really was. In the 17th chapter of Matthew, it's also recorded in other places in Scripture, Jesus took three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, and they went up to the mount called the Mount of Transfiguration, and Jesus began to pray. And for a moment, what he did was just pull back this veil of his flesh. And when he did, it says that his raiment began to radiate light. It didn't reflect it the way that Moses did in the presence of God. It was coming out of him. Jesus just got so much in the Spirit that the Spirit began to start letting this perfect light, like the sun, come right out of him. And when the disciples saw just a little glimpse of that, they fell at their feet and they cried out and asked the Lord, it says it's good for us to be here. They saw just a little glimpse of who Jesus really was. I don't know if you're tracking with me and following this, but what I'm trying to get across is, people often will say things like, if I'd have been one of Jesus' disciples, then I'd have believed. Oh man, that would have been wonderful to see him walk on the water, to see him heal the blind and raise the dead and preach and do these things. Did you know, actually, I believe that if you would have been one of his disciples, this physical body and the physical senses would have been a hindrance to you perceiving who Jesus really was. His own disciples did not truly perceive him until after his resurrection. Let me just give you some examples of this. Jesus was teaching the night before his crucifixion. After 3.5 years of dealing with the disciples, you would have thought that they would have been reaching maturity. But here Jesus is saying unto them in John chapter 14 and in verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. And look at this. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it satisfies us. Did you know you could also say this? This is what Philip was saying. He wouldn't have said it this bluntly, but this is what it amounts to. He was saying, Jesus, we aren't satisfied with you. But if we could see God in heaven, we'd be satisfied. You know what? Most people wouldn't say things that bluntly. They would know that something was wrong. But in reality, most of us aren't satisfied with the fact that Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us, that he now lives on the inside of us. We aren't satisfied with that. We want a goosebump. We want to see an angel. We want to see a glory cloud. We want to go to some meeting so that we can feel the presence of God. People want to have gold dust in their Bible. They want to have feathers fall down out of it. They want something physical, tangible, and that to them is more important than the reality of the Spirit that God Himself dwells on the inside of us. What the Bible calls that is carnal. And it's a hindrance to us truly knowing God. Jesus had just told His disciples, if you had known Me, you would have known My Father also. Now again, they knew Him in the sense that they could have told you how tall He was, what His hair looked like, what His eye color was. They could have described His facial features, but they didn't know Him on the inside. They didn't know Him heart to heart. They knew Him in the physical, but they didn't know who was really with them. And He says, if you had known Me, you would have known God. And they said, well, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. And Jesus' response to that was, in verse 9, Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known Me, Philip? He that has seen Me has seen the Father, and how sayest thou, show us the Father? Again, this isn't talking about if you have just looked on His physical body. But it was talking about if you have seen Him in His heart. If you have seen Jesus extend mercy to the people that the religious people condemned and ostracized. If you had seen Jesus tell people, go and sin no more. If you had seen Jesus moved with compassion and heal people. If you had seen Jesus when the man came to Him who was a leper and says, if you will, you can make me whole. And He says, I will. If you had seen those things and recognized the true spiritual significance of it, not just watched the physical act, but understood what this meant, that God was a loving, compassionate God, not the harsh taskmaster that many people portray Him as. If you had seen and known Jesus as revealed through His actions towards people, then you would have known God, because Jesus was the express image of the Father in Hebrews 1:3. He was a perfect representation. And basically, He's telling these disciples who walked with Him for 3.5 years, you don't know Me. If you had known Me, you would have known My Father also. And let me just say this, bring it right down to us. Many of you watching this program have come to a realization that God exists, that Jesus died for your sins. You prayed and asked for that forgiveness. You are born again. If you were to die right now, you'd go to be with the Lord. And yet you don't know God. That's true of all of us to a degree. I can say myself that, man, I'm still learning. I just prayed with a man a couple of days ago that, man, I shot my best shot, and as far as I knew, he was believing, and yet this man died. And you know what? I know that that's not God. That's not God's will. Some people will criticize me because I've even admitted that, you know, that I'm still growing and that I don't know everything, and they'll just immediately take me letting down my shield and being honest with you as an opportunity to criticize. But the truth is that I don't see everything happen, and I don't know God perfectly. I'm asking God about ways that I could be more effective and help people and stuff. I'm still growing, but I'm saying that there are some people who know God only as their Savior, and they don't know Him as their healer. They don't know Him as their provider. They don't know Him as comforter. They don't know that He loves them not based on their performance. They think that they have to earn everything, and they are being held at arm's length from intimacy with God because of a wrong understanding. They are bearing undue condemnation and guilt, feelings of being unworthy when God doesn't fellowship with us because we deserve it. You know, I don't know God as well as I want to know Him, but I know Him a lot more than I used to. And what I do know about God has just totally, radically changed my life. And I really believe that we can know God by the Spirit better than if He was here physically. If Jesus was standing in front of me in His physical body and able to communicate to me, I know that some people will struggle with this, but I really believe that I know God better. I know Jesus better than if He was here in His physical body. And I know some people struggle with that because, again, they are so carnally dominated by their 5 senses that they just don't receive very much through their spirit. but you can grow. And I hadn't arrived, but I've left. And I've grown to a place that where through my spirit, I'm knowing God better, I believe, than the disciples did. You know, the Apostle Paul, again, is the one that wrote half of the New Testament. His revelation caused the Apostle Peter to say, our brother Paul says some hard things. He admitted that he was groping to understand the grace that the Apostle Paul was preaching. And yet, Paul didn't know Jesus in the physical. He knew him in the spirit. He had the greater revelation of who Jesus was than the people who were there in the physical, because that physical body actually was a hindrance. You know, I had a dream one time, and I'm what they call a lucid dreamer. My dreams are really vivid. I mean, it's just like I was there. And I was a disciple of Jesus. I saw Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. I saw him raise Dorcas. I mean, not Dorcas, but Jairus' daughter from the dead. I saw him walk on water. I saw him do all of these miracles. And I was excited and real. And yet right in the middle of this dream, right at the peak of my excitement, Jesus just whirled around, stuck his finger in my face and says, who do you say that I am? Same question that he asked the disciples in Matthew chapter 16. And even though I had seen the manifestation of God's power through him in this dream, and in my heart, everything was saying, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, the same answer that the Apostle Peter gave. In this dream, like I said, I'm a vivid dreamer. In this dream, I saw Jesus, and he was just normal looking. You know, back in those days, he didn't have a Holiday Inn to stay in. His clothes were dirty. They weren't perfect. They weren't pressed. He didn't have shampoo. His hair was matted. He didn't take a bath every single day. In this dream, I could smell him. Everything about Jesus was just totally normal. He looked like a person. And even though in my heart, everything was saying, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, with my emotions and all my sense knowledge was saying, this is just a person. I really experienced that. And by the grace of God in this dream, I was able to say, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. But I experienced that kind of vicariously through this dream. And I really believe that if you would have been one of the disciples of Jesus, or if you would have been a person that lived during his earthly ministry, and if we would have seen him in that physical body, even though it wasn't sinful, it was physical, it would have been a hindrance to truly knowing him. And that's what Paul referred to in 2 Corinthians 5:16 when he says, we've known Christ after the flesh, but we don't know him that way anymore. Boy, there's a lot more to share on this, and I'm going to have to continue it on my program tomorrow.